Ladies and gentlemen, ATDF Everything in That Shelf presentation.
You're now rocking with TDF Everything. Spoiled Rotten.
Alert. Welcome back, everybody.
Hey.
It's me, Daniel.
And this is Ben.
On Spoiled Rotten.
On That Shelf.
Boom. It's Falcon and the Winter Soldier Truth, episode five.
Episode six. Five.
Well, what? Yeah, as I said off mic, there's a lot I have written down. So in the effort of trying to get it done, let's go. Basically, right away, it starts with John running. Sam and Bucky catch up to him. And I found it interesting that Sam was kind of like, hey, man, don't worry. Just kind of in the heat of the battle. Don't worry about it. And
yeah.
Then they're like, oh, no, this guy's just a shitty person. And they fight. And it's a good fight.
It's a very good fight. I find the Sam's natural instinct to even play the negotiator role or that
well, you know, I mean, how
he
basically, I think it's,
did with Carly, he did. Like he just wants to talk with people first and connect
yes.
with people and just
as a counselor at heart.
That is his biggest thing, and I love that he's true to that despite whoever it is, right? He just witnessed this. He's just like, hey, you know what? We can deal with this in a better way. And I love that that's his character.
Yeah.
That he is a good man. Like after all things that he's like, hey. Let's de-escalate the situation. And that's what I do love about him.
Yeah. I forgot to say, before they fight, it is important to note that it's the first instance of, and I genuinely don't know where he lands on this, but it's the first instance of John Walker being like, yeah, I killed the person who killed Lamar. And they're like, no, you didn't. That's not what happened. Don't do that. He says it there. And then the other thing is, I noticed that Bucky just keeps focusing on the blood on the shield, like that, not a turning point, but it does feel like when he's like, oh, you guys don't want to do this, it's the scene cuts from Bucky looking at the shield to him, to John in the face being like, yes, we do. Because it's kind of like, no, you fucked this up. Like, I didn't like you. And then you did this. So yeah, I do want to fight you. I do want this to happen.
Yeah. It's one of those things where I think Bucky's instinct is, definitely to charge in. Like I think it's true and true that there's more of the Winter Soldier in him than we like to think. Is his natural instinct to just kind of go at it.
I didn't see it that way.
You didn't see it that way. I kind of did.
I see it as it's what I like about these shows and what's frustrating me the more and more people are just like, yeah, whatever. They're just gonna punch each other at the end of this. Is that this show has shown growth for both of the lead, like the titular characters. I think Sam has legitimately rubbed off on Bucky. So yes, he wants to fight John, but it's not because he's like, this is the mission. It is him. He says later in the episode, that shield is part of my family. And he's just defiled a family member. So that desire to do something in this moment isn't like, I'm in Winter Soldier mode. That is, no, you've actually destroyed something I care about. I genuinely care about this. You've destroyed it. Because his first instinct actually was to talk about it, like Sam was talking about it.
Right.
They both came in and talked to him about the situation. He didn't come in and throw a punch.
You know, you're right. You're right. He did just come in and, well, very much like Bucky, I guess he sits and does the staring thing where he just observes, right? I guess you're very much right with that. He just let Sam do the talking. And he did the observation and did the assessment in his own mind that he was like, you know what? Your logic here is not sound. It doesn't justify what you did there.
Yeah, he hears all of the key things of being like, oh, no, you're wrong. Like you think you killed the right person. You think you killed for the right reason. No, like you can't keep this.
He's not reacting in a way that, you know, someone would. Like he's like, no, you actually killed the wrong person. It was Carly that did that. Like he didn't know that. And he's like, no. And he just kept insisting he did. He kept insisting to just like write his narrative into truth, right? Or like, and Bucky's just like, nope, don't like that. I like that assessment way better than where I saw it from, because I did see it as like, no, I'm going to go into soldier mode now. You gave me the excuse. I see the blood on the shield.
And so another thing I noticed is he did a lot of punching without his metal arm. They explain it later in the episode, but I do feel like, yeah, this was a more personal thing for Bucky than it was a I'm on a mission type thing.
Right. I also saw some pushback in that argument, in the sense where there was a scene within that fight where it shows like his metal arm getting electrocuted and stuff like that. So like, oh, was it malfunctioning was a question within that kind of thing, right? But it's weird that it doesn't come up throughout the rest of the episode if it was malfunctioning.
I think they were just trying to show you that he was going to be out of it for a bit. They needed
to like he just ratchet up the electrocuted tension. Out. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, I think that he was dealing with that because this is me projecting. I am willing to say that I don't know for a fact what they were writing. What I think is happening, what I think is successfully being done, is you are seeing these characters as human beings.
Yes.
It's what they did in WandaVision. It's what they're doing here, is you're actually getting to see them, like, for lack of a better term, you're getting to see their hopes and dreams. You're gonna, like, you get to see what they care about.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, so when he reveals, well, I don't really think about my hand. I don't even want to get into that scene too much, but I think that reveal later is a genuine reveal. I don't think that's him compensating for something.
Right.
I think that you're just learning more about these characters.
Absolutely.
And I think the electrocution thing is, yeah, we needed to take him out of the fight for a bit because well, one thing, I know people keep saying it's like Civil War, but I felt, yeah, there is the Civil War, like Iron Man versus Cap and Bucky type feeling. But for me, it felt like Infinity War when they're like trying to get the gauntlet off of Thanos. Like when they finally like break his arm and take it off, I'm like, yeah, like this is the like successful version of that.
Yeah.
Of like, oh, they're all working towards, I mean, it's two of them, but like they're working as a team. Finally, they don't have a hothead in the situation and they accomplish the goal of like removing this iconography from the bad guy.
Right. And I saw it purely as that, because Bucky was trying to move it for the reasons of you don't deserve it. We have to restore like its purity or whatever that might mean for the shield. Obviously, we know it's not pure for Bucky anyways. Yeah. He's like, I've got to take it back. You don't deserve it. You're not worthy, kind of deal, like that whole Mjolnir idea that we brought up last episode. Mm-hmm. And then Sam's like, we got to just do this. We got to incapacitate him. We've already gotten to this point, but Sam's almost doing it to the perspective of like, let's just not go too far kind of deal. So it's not like the idea of someone's protecting someone else. The idea is here. No, both they Sam and Bucky have the exact same mission here. It is nothing like the Infinity War thing. The only thing that strikes the resemblance is the...
You mean Infinity War?
The Civil War thing, where obviously referencing the Iron Man fight. That the only thing that's similar is the visuals just of Bucky and the shield being there. That's it. It's a two-on-one fight. It's very much not even the same fight where Bucky and Steve were using the shield against each other like that. They were just like, no, we got our own fighting styles, and it worked out beautifully.
That before Sam can fully get the shield, his wings are ripped off of him, and it feels more like a metaphorical transformation of
leaving very much
that
so.
Behind. Mm-hmm. I'll get into that more, but yeah, like I liked the visual of him losing the wings and then Bucky being like, here's the shield. Because Bucky takes it. And I will admit, there was a couple of times in this episode where I'm like, is he just going to take it for himself? Or like...
Right.
That was, you know, one scene of him. And he's like, no, here you go. I'm out.
I've seen a lot of people talk about that, whether or not he was actually contemplating that split second taking the shield. And I was at no point thinking that would be the case, because I was thinking that Bucky respects Steve way too much and his opinion of everything way too much to even contemplate it. I think he was just like having a nostalgic moment of like, we did it. We got the Infinity Gauntlet, the shield back. We got that moment. I think that's what that was.
I look at it now that I've seen the whole episode as him just checking in on that family member. Mm-hmm. Being like, okay, you're good. And then passing it off.
Yes.
I will admit I did fall into like, oh, is he going to take it? But having seen the whole episode and having the context, I do feel like it is just the check-in and then being like, okay, it's good.
Yeah.
Like, we did it.
Yeah. The one thing that bothered me about that scene, I have to say, is that they just leave John Walker there. Obviously, he's defeated and all that kind of stuff, but like, really, I mean, I feel like the mandate should be some visual of like some like people coming in to like arrest him or something like that, as opposed to, you know, it does feel like that should
have been the thing. I think writing wise, it's cleaner because they don't work with the government in that capacity, that it's cleaner that you just
that's a good point.
See that they leave and that there isn't like people coming in and just getting John Walker, considering they should be trying to get all three of them.
You know what? That's a very good point. Very good.
You're right that it's like, how come we didn't see it? But
yeah,
I feel like not enough time passes for me to be like, what happened? Like, my memory is, oh, it just cuts right to John.
Yes.
Thing, but that isn't what happens.
Directly cuts to it. Yeah.
That isn't what happens. But like, I feel like not enough time elapsed for me to be like, well, wait, why did they? Because you're right. I was feeling like they're just gonna leave him there, but. Mm-hmm. Again, like with the context of the knowing the whole episode, it did feel like, I feel like you have to explain too much if people do show up and don't go after. I mean, You could just have them like slink out the back, but it is kind of like, maybe they just knew people were coming anyway. And maybe that is what John was running from. Like, we don't, like, it does start in media res. Like, maybe it was like, maybe like they all knew that the authorities were coming for them.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's John Walker isn't exactly someone that's not well known. He's got all these posters, like Cap is back, John Walker, and all this. His face is all over the place. People know him. So it's not like he could exactly run successfully anyways. Not as successfully as Steve Rogers did after the events of Civil War. Because I feel like the Steve Rogers situation was very similar to a Carly situation, where it's like, you're on the run. We got people that will help you willingly versus this situation is like, John Walker's like, you're on the run. We watched you kill it. No one
likes you. Yeah.
We watched you murder a dude and insist that like, whatever, but it doesn't matter. Like, your job is not to be a weapon. Your job is to be Captain America. And he's just being the weapon, right? And I we'll get to that later.
Yeah, I definitely want to get into that. But you're right. Like, it's not like Steve. People like Steve, they would help him, and people just watched him. I feel like people really just say like, oh, he murdered someone, because Steve murders people all the time. What he did was he murdered someone who was pleading, like, who was not posing a threat.
Yeah, it's not an
innocent person in that sense, but it was someone who was complying, and he still beat them.
Even in war, like if your enemy is like waving the white flag and being like giving up, you have to take them in as prisoners of war. You can't be like, no, boom, 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 shoot you. Well, I'm sure that happens. That definitely happens. But like the legality of it still says that, like, no, if we give up and we like wave our white flags, then you have to take us in. You can't just kill us, kind of deal. And that's what he did, and the world saw it, right? Like, and I love the fact that was referenced. Like what Torres says that, right? At some point,
I want to get into that scene because I feel like we ran into that problem. It's like, oh, we're 15 minutes and we haven't even got past the scene.
Yeah.
I'm not putting that on you. I'm just saying.
There's
a lot to talk about.
There's so much to talk about in this episode. That's why.
But yeah, Sam and Bucky basically regroup. Well, no, they don't regroup. We just catch them somewhere else, and they basically, we can't find Carly. She's gone. And then Sam is like, I guess you're going to go deal with Zemo. Bucky leaves. That's when Torres comes in, and he basically, he's basically like, I'll take the shield, and he leaves the wings, which I saw as like, that's him leaving his last tie to the government behind, like being like, well, no, you can keep it. But I think in the very more practical sense, it's giving Torres the wings because he becomes Falcon in the comics.
Yeah.
Real wings in the comics, but I don't know if they're going to do that in this. I think they're just going to be like, he just takes the wings.
Yeah, I feel that scene, I don't know if that was me projecting onto that, because I'm like, oh shit, he's gonna become Falcon now, because we know that as Torres, right? But the issue is like, that scene didn't come across that way. Like, now that I rethink,
it's a well-written show, so that it's not like, on the nose like that. I just think,
right.
Yeah, you've set it up now that Torres can take those, especially when we know what happens later in the episode. It's like, yeah, there is no need for Sam to take those wings back.
Right. That's fair.
Torres can keep them. But I think the poetry of it is him being like, and now I'm completely out on this government stuff. Mm. Like, I will be doing my own thing, especially what we learn in the next scene about the shield, which I think everyone already knew, but it's confirmed.
Yeah. I never saw it that way as shedding his ties to the government, but I'm actually really, really glad you pointed that out, because it makes that so much more beautiful.
Yeah, I think he was like, I'm done with this, and this was a good place to be like, you keep it. I mean, we also know that he knows that they track him through his stuff as well, which I think we can see retroactively in a couple of older episodes that he was kind of reluctant to wear the stuff anyway. I know in Madripoor he can't wear it, but like, it seemed like it was like sparingly using his tech,
right?
Especially since he knew that they can track him.
Yeah, he definitely doesn't rely on it as much as he used to, right? After they realize he's been tracked and repeatedly, you know, he just doesn't use it as much as he used to. So I really get the idea of him saying letting go of that and just getting rid of it. It is beautiful, that thing.
And I do think, yes, this is the scene where Torres probably talked about the support that Carly has. But yeah, I wanted to kind of move on because we'll have other times to talk about that. Yep. I think the big thing is the scene is John, I don't even know what you call that, because he's not being court-martialed. I've heard many people say very specifically, this is the most that could happen to him without a court-martialing.
Right.
But basically, the idea is that he is other than honorably discharged. And
wouldn't that just be a dishonorable discharge?
No.
There's varying degrees of shame.
Okay. I think this is them being like, you are being dishonorably discharged, but we can't call it that because
we recognize that all the medals and achievements you have done.
But other people have said that honorably discharged means that like that's as severe as it can get. If it was more than that, then he would have been court-martialed or something like that.
Right. Right.
So it is, I think it is a technical, it isn't just like a funny way of saying it. I think this is a specific thing that can happen.
I see.
But anyway, what I liked about this scene was I think this is the perfect example of you can't say there's just a couple of bad apples when you're dealing with the cops and stuff like this. This is 100%. Very clearly you're seeing the bad apple and he's saying, I get that. I was following your orders. It is the whole system that is fucked. I did it because that's what the system promotes.
100%. This is what you told me to do. I did it for you. I did everything. I was your poster kid. I jumped through your hoops and you're still hanging me out to dry. And I'm calling you out publicly.
I think it is jumping through hoops, but I think it is just like, this is the culture. Like isn't like, I'm not some kind of special situation. Like I am, my whole life has been this. Even before I was Captain America is dealing with your mandates. So like the whole system is fucked, not just this special situation.
Correct. This is not one person. This is a representation of the whole system.
Yeah, so like you're getting mad at me for doing what you asked me to do, which I like that they're showing that. I don't think people will see it that way, but it is very clearly showing like you can't just be like, well, you know, that cop just is bad. It's like, well, no, like that's what the system breeds.
Yeah,
they're always going to breed. It's only because Cap and even Isaiah went against what the government was telling them to do that they can be considered heroes. It's not, they weren't just doing what the government told them to do.
Yeah. They did the morally right thing. Mm-hmm. And Isaiah also did the morally right thing.
We will definitely get to that.
So I want to hold off on any further comment. They did the morally right thing. And this is...
And John was just doing what they told him to do. He took it further.
It's so weird because I feel like in that scene, it's just like he is the perfect soldier and Steve is a good man. Like, that's the difference between them. And a good man will be like, hey, that order is not right, versus the perfect soldier will be like, it's not my job to question, right? And so John is that perfect representation of that system. And there's a double standard within that system where it's like, hey, yeah, you're doing exactly what we told you to do, but on another level, without you knowing, you should have done the morally right thing because that would have been better PR or something like that. It's just, it's this crazy uncommunicated double standard but it does represent that all, like, the system is entirely broken.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does.
I wouldn't say it's broken. I would say it's doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Fair. Oh yeah. Well, okay. It's broken for, depending on the demographic you belong to. But it is doing what it's supposed to. It is holding certain people down.
The political side of me will always say this. Like, when people are like, oh, like, cops are supposed to uphold, they basically are there to protect property. They are not to protect people. They're not there.
No.
Like, it is so that, like, property and people with money feel safe, and that all of that is upheld.
That's it.
So that is, and that is what we see with the GRC. Again, we will get to that, but that is, it's this show, I feel like, is doing a great job of showing that. And I know they're using superhero stuff so that it's a bit removed, but the analogs are there. It's quite clear. Like, we just went through a year of all this, we're getting right back into it again with more cop shootings and stuff like that. Like, you're seeing, I'm hoping people can see the similarities there, that, like, no, we don't have a GRC, but all of these things are connected, and it's a system that is working to do a very specific thing.
And that's, I can't wait to get to that later, the GRC stuff, because I have a theory that is a little bit different, but it's going to be very, very interesting.
Then the next thing is him with his wife, kind of like, what the fuck happened here?
Right.
And I gotta say, I wish that Disney and Marvel would just trust their shows, because I do feel like this is a great cameo, but if you build it up as like this on the fifth episode, there's going to be this crazy cameo. I wish they could work with Thor. Oh, it's going to make you cry. I'm like, well, why? Why did you do that to yourself? Like,
right.
Why could this just happen? Why could people just like, oh, fuck, Julia Louis-Dreyfus is in the show and she's having an amazing scene right now. Like, this is a great scene, but it's hampered down by, like, not for me. I'm not saying for me. I watch other people track this stuff. It's hampered down by, like, oh, I guess that's the big cameo, instead of just having it be a surprise that it happened. Like, I feel like they could, like, the same way they didn't hint at Io coming and, like, Wakanda being involved, they could have just not talked about this either, and have people be like, this is great, like, what a great time.
I agree. The whole Wakanda involvement within the series was an entirely big shock to me, because it was not in any promotional materials, and that to me was bigger than this, because of the fact that this was built up as like, ooh, this big cameo.
Yeah, like, they just don't trust their stuff. And I get Malcolm Spellman saying that because it's his show, and he'd be like, I'm glad I got to work with this person and that they did the show.
Yeah.
But, like, the way it's promoted, and we, like,
I agree with you.
I feel like maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. Like, I'm sorry, not maybe. I definitely don't know what I'm talking about. But to me, you always hear that, like, about the Disney snipers and, like, what you can and can't say in an interview. So what I'm saying is, Marvel was obviously okay with him building up that cameo, which leads to them not trusting what they have and being like, oh, I guess put out that thing that we got a big cameo. Yeah, you can say that, Malcolm. Go ahead. And it's like, don't stop doing that. I hope they don't do this for Loki. Like, I hope they just let the show run.
I'm sure they will, though. I'm sure they will.
I know. It's so disappointing, because, like, this would have been a very cool scene in a very cool show. And now it's like, I can already see all the people being like, no, it's just this. And, like, I don't know the character. I didn't look her up. And I've seen new rock stars break it down that she's Lady Hydra or whatever. Like, she's just Val in this or whatever. And she's got a really long, complicated name. I just liked her energy. And if anything, I wish she could have been in a scene with Tony Stark. or Iron Man. I feel like that would have been really fun.
The two alphas colliding kind of deal.
That's just really cool because it does seem like she's like recruiting a team.
Yeah.
But it's like, wouldn't it be funny if like she had to like interact with Iron Man who also recruited a team basically?
Yes. Yeah. And compare notes on like team morale events or something like that.
I mean everything about it, like when the wife is like, "Who are you?" and she just gives her a blank card. I was like, that's hilarious.
It is hilarious, but it's just one of those things where that scene read, there's so many microaggressions within that scene where I'm like, why are you just completely dismissing the woman of color here? That just felt so bad.
She doesn't
I'm like,
look at her.
I'm like the two white people tell her to move,
and she puts her back to her.
Yep,
she's obviously a bad person. I think that's quite clear. I just liked her energy in the scene in a show is doing exactly what you're talking about, showing what it's like to be black in white spaces. Like that woman was having a connection with her husband, and then this other person comes in and she's like, the only reason to bring her up is because it's like, what a good decision to marry this hot piece of ass. Like that's her contribution to this.
Objectifying her and demeaning her and all that kind of stuff like that. I really wanted to point that out, but you're right. The energy, her alphaness entirely is just like, anytime she walks into a room, you're going to be like, oh, it's going to be about you. Mm-hmm. This is going to be fun because of the way you're playing this. So I am looking forward to her. Or even the way that she's
like, your best decision is answering the phone when I call you.
Correct. Right. Like I like how she does that. It's such an interesting dialogue. And like Madam Hydra, Lady Hydra, whatever. Vanessa.
It's Val.
Allegra DeFontaine or Contessa. And it's Val is just it. We're just going to go by Val going forward.
I'm not saying that whole name.
it's very interesting character, has a lot of stuff related to Secret Invasion or Secret Wars or stuff like that. So it's going to be very, very interesting to see how she's used as a character going forward. But I completely agree with you going back to, I wish Disney would believe in these shows themselves, because it seemed like that promise of that cameo was underwhelming, because I'm just like, because the episode itself was so good. And
you didn't need to hype it up based on that cameo. It's a cool cameo, but I don't think one that's worthy of like, let's hype it up after episode two.
I agree. I really, really, really wish that was just left alone. And like, it was something like after the fact, it's like, why didn't you tell us about this? And they're like, I really want those moments again. Like, give us the Wakanda moment again.
That's what I think is what Marvel. I don't want this to turn into a discussion. I'm just saying, like, for me, it's what I've said, like, about why I feel Marvel has been more successful than DC, not because of how they rolled out the movies, but because they are able to have moments of like, holy shit, like I can't believe that happened. Whereas DC, like, because they keep trying to rush to the finish line, you don't have time to build up to a moment like that. It's just kind of like, I guess they're here now. We're doing this now.
Because the biggest difference is the holy shit moments in Marvel are like that. Holy shit, I can't believe they did that or that happened. Versus in DC, it's like, holy shit, I can't believe that was Jimmy Olsen. They didn't do anything about it. what I mean? That's the biggest difference. It's like, oh, wait, what?
I think that's, they need to trust that that's what they've got going for them. And as I said, maybe he did just say that, but I feel like we've heard how controlled they are about what you can say. And having done interviews myself, not like having interviewed people, there is clearly like a script they have, and whatever question I ask, they can pull from that script to answer questions. But it feels like that was something they had to go ahead to be like, you can tease the episode 5
camera. The level of secrecy involved in stuff is awesome and crazy now, because even like the revival of Scream, they're shooting like multiple endings and multiple subplots. They're actually shooting it, not just writing it into the story, the the script. That's the level of paranoia they're going to, which I can appreciate, because I don't like stuff being spoiled, but, and we love our internet sleuths. So at the same time.
So then I guess the next scene is the flag smash. I don't even know where this is, but like wherever they were last episode asking for Donya, like the flag smashers are back in that, I'll just call it their home base.
Yeah.
And they basically realize GRC shut that place down.
Yep.
And it seems like killed some people in the process. So Carly's kind of just like, how many times do we have to pay with our lives just to be citizens of this goddamn planet? Which I think, I know that this show has kind of pushed her into bad guy role, especially with a scene that happens later, but I do think that is a valid frustration, and it's
100%.
It's like, yeah, like we're being displaced, we are being treated as subhuman,
now we're being forcibly removed.
Yeah Like it's just like we are citizens of this planet. You're trying to like put these borders on, but it's like we still deserve to be on this planet. You can't just keep pushing us around and killing us before we fight back.
No, and you know what? Like the way, and I really hope that people look at her character and her cause with a lot more empathy, because she is so valid in a lot of these things that she says.
Well, because I've already seen people tweet like full on like institutions, not just like other people on Twitter or YouTubers being like, well, it's episode 5 and we still don't know, like, or this was last week, so it's episode 4 and we still don't know what the flag smashers want. And I'm like,
what do you mean?
Definitely not watching the show if you think
They want to reduce it down to like, we want $100 million or something like that, don't they? They want like one thing. It's just like, no, what they want is, just because there's no list for you to easily conceptualize it,
but it is a very easy thing. They want to be considered a part of this planet. They don't want to be displaced. They want it to be back to like during the blip, when everyone could just work together. That is what they're trying to do.
But more importantly, what they want too is a voice in how the rest of the world is reorganized too, because I think that's the biggest frustration that I'm feeling from them and from this episode, is not being heard. Right? You hear that, you see in the John Walker scene, he's not being heard. It's like, hey, you can talk all you want, the decision's already been made. Like, that's basically what that whole council is doing. Is like, hey, you can do whatever you want. You can throw are you done your temper tantrum? This has already been decided. You're not going to do anything to change our decision. And basically, I feel like the Flagsmasters feel the same way. It's like, hey, you know what? How about hearing from the half the world's population that was here holding shit together, and then you guys come back and want to pretend like nothing happened? Like, that's a very valid concern, and be like, hey, why don't we have some representation at this table? And not even
I actually disagree that that's what they're looking for. I think they just want things. I think, because they're not trying to be.
Well, no,
that's what I think. Yeah, that's why I disagree, because if you look at this as BLM, it's they don't want to be part of this system. They want to break it down to create something new. So it's not about, hey, like, we want a voice, this is just as we want to be seen just as equals. Usually it's no, abolish that. It's abolish the police. It's about like, it's no, break that down. Like, that needs to go away, because in that 5 years, we saw something that worked. And we don't want to go back. It's like that, how people, you can see it now with COVID, like that they're so like ingrained in what it's like to be in a capitalist society that they can't fathom a world where like you could do a lockdown and it's the government's job to subsidize things for people so that they don't have to feel like they need to be working, because they're so like in that mind frame. And the flag smashers represent wanting to break all of that down. So that's why I disagree that they're looking for like a voice. I think
fair enough.
What they're saying is, stop doing that. That didn't work.
Right. Very okay. Very valid. Very valid.
And I think it's very clear that that's what they're doing. And I find it kind of irresponsible to like.
Right.
I mean, whatever. We're talking about TV, but I think it's these ideas that they're dealing with are very interesting and important ideas that go beyond just, hey, like, it's an action show. that it's irresponsible to try and report on this or critique it. Like, well, how come they're not like asking for, as you said, how come they're not asking for billions of dollars or something? Like,
we want this.
Like, no, they want a very clear thing that has been stated since the beginning of this show.
Wow. I can't believe there are some content creators out there not understanding or writing about this show.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, a content creator, but like, these are journalists. These are people that are professionally paid by newspapers and stuff to cover this stuff. And they are, and I know that I know that you don't get to pick your headline, but like, to lead with that is, again, indicative it's the system that's broken. Like,
to be fair, there are there are many, many examples of journalists covering and reviewing movies and having literally no idea of the background of that character or what they're talking about.
Carly Morgenthau is, you just need to watch the show and be like, oh, that's what they want.
I get that, but there's some journalists that just fundamentally get assigned to certain things and review certain things, and I'm like, why did this person get assigned to it? Because like, I remember this one review of Deadpool where it was like the scathing review of how like ridiculous, over the top, the jokes are like disgusting, foul. It's like, oh, so your review, you knew nothing about this character, because that's exactly what you were gonna
get. I'm pushing back against that is, you're talking about comic specific things. Like, it's weird to comment on something like that for Deadpool, whereas these aren't even actual characters in the comics. They were made for this show. Like, Flag Smasher is one character and he doesn't even have the same idea as them. So this is just a new idea for this show. So it means anyone can see it for what it is.
Valid.
Yeah.
Valid. Yep.
It's good this point. Isn't like a, hey, you got to read this issue. It's like, no, there are no issues to read. You can just watch the show and understand what they want.
Right. That's very valid. Yep. I love it. Yep.
And I just said that the system's broken. What I mean is, I feel like because of what they're talking about, people are trying to dismiss what this show is actually doing. And it's really frustrating to me. I don't think it's like a mistake that there's so many things coming out. Like, oh, we don't know. Like, oh, what's wrong with the show? And it's like, all right, like, I can't believe we're having this. Because if, like, let's say, like, Werner Herzog made this show and it was called, like, I don't even know what you would call it, but like, it was just there was no connection to Marvel, then for some reason people can then frame their head around what is going on and all these themes. But because you put MCU on it, then it's kind of like, and I mean, to say nothing of the hill people have to get over when they have to deal with black leads and stuff like that, but like, for some reason people are just kind of like, nah, it's just whatever, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like there's this immediate dismissal because of the target audience, right? This gets brought up with like Star Wars a lot, where it's like, oh, that's just a kid's movie. I'm like, yeah, but they're discussing serious themes within the kid's movie. That's like a hidden treasure that if you're old enough to understand, you'll get there. Like, it's made for kids, but there's gemstones in there for adults. That's the exact same way the MCU is. And right now, I would say this is getting less and less kid oriented. You know what I mean? This is like,
I think it's important for kids to know, but yeah, it's not, it's not talking down to anyone. It is
correct.
Being very blunt about what's happening.
Yeah. So it's very like, let's say like young adult, like early.
Yeah. Like, I'm not saying like
early adult, whatever.
Have like a toddler, like sit them down to watch this. It's still intense. Yeah. It's got people being bludgeoned to death. Mm-hmm. What I mean is that like, it is still an important lesson for
it. Yeah. I feel like people are like, the brand here is not worthy of discussing this thing versus indie filmmaker that truly is obsessed with that topic to do it. We can have it on both ends of the spectrum. And that's kind of the point. We kind of need it on both ends of the spectrum, right? We kind of need representation and this discussion happening all over the place. So don't dismiss it or avoid it. This is very valid and very well done, I will say. Because there's many discussions in this episode we haven't even gone to yet that are like, let's get there.
Yeah, the next scene is Zemo getting captured by Bucky and an Io, almost said Ao. He's at the Sokovia Memorial, and two things I found interesting.
Yes.
On this. Actually, three. So the first thing was Zemo still being like, you know, you got to kill Carly. She's too far gone. Sam's going to think that you can change her around, but you can't. You got to kill her. And I think this is the first time Bucky states his, like, vocally basically aligns with Sam. Like, they are a team. They are friends. Where he's like,
yep,
no, we're going to do it our way. So, like, saying that he's part of the hour, like, is, yes, he's rejecting killing, like, the Winter Soldier, but it is, like, it's what I said before at the beginning. You can see that he is down to do things the way Sam does, which is actually assess the situation and try and talk it out. And this is him vocally saying, I will do that. That is our way.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I'm going to do it his way, not your. He's saying, we're going to do it our way.
Yeah.
So I think that's, like, the first thing. So I found that very interesting. I also found it interesting that Zemo was kind of like, hey, man, don't worry. I crossed you off. I crossed myself off your list. And it's like, okay, like, I get it, like, you, that you think ahead, you already knew how this was going to play out, but it's just been like, I guess Bucky's just okay with that instead of actually being able to. But I find it interesting because of that, but it's also later on in the episode we'll find out that Bucky has never really been taking that seriously or doing it the right way, so maybe it does make sense that he was like, okay, great, thanks, a name off my list, bye. And then the third thing is they're taking Zemo to the raft, which I thought was just gone, but apparently is very much still in play.
Yeah, I thought it was gone too.
They're not taking him to Wakanda. They are taking him to the raft, so that's interesting.
That was very interesting to me. I want to hear your thoughts on that, because
I don't have any thoughts. I was just like, oh, okay.
Really?
Weird.
Yeah, I thought they were going to take him to Wakanda, and that was going to be, like, his character's going to continue on in, like, Black Panther 2 or something like that. But it's just very interesting that, well, you know, it's consistent. I mean, they did just want him captured, right? Like, the protest was that he's like, hey, why did you break him out?
They were just like, put him back.
Yeah, the protest was like, why did you help him break him out of jail? You know what he means to our culture and all that kind of stuff. It was never like he's got to face Wakanda law. They were just like, no, they did the right thing. We want him back, but this time extra security. Let's see you break him out of the raft, Bucky.
Well, like, I guess they are also pointing out that in the raft, that's where he's going to stay forever. Like,
correct.
We know he won't, but, like, in their eyes, like, there's no, like, judicial system that'll be like, I guess he can leave now. He's, like, in there for, like, he can leave early for good behavior. It's like, no, you're in the raft. You're just there forever.
Yeah, I guess the Sokovia Accord. Well, I mean, I guess just the prison that they had him in. Just wasn't sufficient enough, obviously, to get him out.
We saw what it was like. So it's not sufficient.
Being on the raft, it's like, okay, you can escape, but how do you get out of the ocean?
It's underwater. I mean, I just feel like we know he's gonna get out, but
we know.
I can see them just being like, well, yeah, you're not going back to, like, regular prison.
That was very cool.
And then one thing else that he says is, Io says, basically stay out of Wakanda for a bit if you know what's good for you. And then he still asks for a favor, which we find out is the new Falcon suit, which we never see. And I'm just saying that now because then we don't have to talk about it at the end. It's just, he asked for a favor. It's the suit.
When he did, is like, hey, can I ask one favor? I'm like, oh, the audacity. And then when he gives the suit, I was like, okay, I see what you did there. I'm less angry about it.
I
still feel
like, I can't believe you're still asking favors.
I agree.
Realistically, it didn't make me feel better that it was for Sam. I was just like, it's so weird that you keep taking from them.
I agree. I full on agree with that. It's like, you still got your arm. They didn't take that back. And you're asking for another favor, even though you did, like, really.
I think it's supposed to show that he and Io have, like, a friendly relationship, even though she said, "Bass, damn you," last episode. But, like, rightfully so, friends have fights, and he really fucked up in that situation. But I still take it as, like, man, you just keep taking from them. Jeez.
I agree. I agree. It's just like, why do you keep taking? I'm like, we get it. Wakanda's got a lot with vibranium. You guys rich. But why, like, it's the ethics of it, the morality of, like, why you take it so much, you've offended, you've added insult to injury, and you're asking for more. it still rubbed me the wrong way, don't get me wrong, but the idea of the speculative aspect of this suit, which we probably won't speculate that much about.
No, I don't want to find out.
Yeah.
Just yet. I mean, if you want to speculate later, we can.
I'm speculating. We're about to talk about a
very important scene.
Yeah.
That even I don't land one way or the other on. I just find it very interesting, which is Sam going to visit Isaiah.
Yep. I've been waiting for this moment. Let's talk about this.
So yeah, they basically have this talk.
Mentoring. Discussion, would you say? Nope. Or like just whatever, like he's just like
mentoring,
sharing. I think it's a very
frank talk about what I've said this show is about always, is being black and white spaces, and this white space happens to be the country they live in, which is America.
Yes.
And just the idea that they're like, he's like, yeah, they're not, they don't want a black Captain America. You're never gonna be a you're never going to be Captain America in black. So I think, and basically he's like, oh, give me bitter old man. And he's like, well, if you're not bitter, then you're not paying attention. I mean, I think he said, then you're blind, but I know, I know the sentiment. Like if you're not angry, you're not paying attention idea. And I think, again, it's great to force a character like Falcon to think about that type of stuff. It is character growth. It is, we just had a whole segment on it, but like people are not giving this show the credit it deserves in terms of actually moving these characters along.
I would agree.
Their life journey, like this is a conversation where Sam actually says, well, I don't get it. Like it's unfortunate that he's that old and he doesn't get it, but he says, I just don't get it. And I know in that moment he's mean, I don't get what happened to you, but it's clear that the deeper meaning is he doesn't get that. Like he's everything you said, like naive and thinking like, oh, you know, like you just got to play the role well and things will go well for you.
And
this conversation is great about being like, I did do the right thing. He did exactly what Steve did in the first Avenger. He went and saved those people so that they didn't die.
He defied
getting a hero's welcome. I mean, he even says, and the government was actually going to destroy the evidence by just taking out that whole place that they were being held captive, but he saved them, which you think would have been like, oh great, like way to go.
But it's
instead he gets put in jail for 30 years, and the other guys that they tested on were just dying off because they were tested on and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And like they told his wife he was dead, like they didn't give him any of the letters she sent.
Yeah.
And when he shows a bunch of scars, which reminded me of they did it to slaves anyway, but like actually putting branding on runaway slaves, like actually branding runaway slaves to just remind, so if they went anywhere it would be like, oop, runaway slave, can't do it. Like it is just the erasure of that person, but then as he said, like erasing his whole history.
Yeah.
And I love that conversation, especially how it pays off later, but like and he said, but they've been doing that for 500 years, which, that is the black experience in the States, is they were shipped there and stripped of their names, of their like way of life, and then forced to do that, whatever, and then get punished for doing what they were forced to do once they got there.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just really important to have all of that in there. And I know people are just going to skip over and be like, oh yeah, Carl Lumbly's a good actor. But it's like this very, I'm not saying he's not, I'm saying the content of what he was saying is so important for it is like to be black in this situation.
Yeah, that scene carried so much weight to me. I'm like, it was so weird because it does full on display Sam's naivety, right? It's just like, and it does show you, like, to a degree, that the progress that's been insinuated within what Sam's experience, within what his worldview is, right? The idea that, you know, even like as an Avenger or whatever, with partnered up with Steve and all his experiences, he never saw it. And that's why I like with what Isaiah says, is like, that if you're not bitter, then you're blind. And that really says so much to me, is like the idea of like, hey, you may not see it, but it's happening to you regardless of whether you see.
Said, like, oh, you think you're just going to change this by giving me the shield? And then like, you think I'm not going to die if they realize I'm still alive? You think they're not going to try and take me out? Like,
yeah,
no, nothing has changed. And I, again, they're using these superhero tropes to get right. a very real thing across, which is any, if you look, Fred Hampton, Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, all of these powerful Black people that actually were seen to have power over the people,
right,
struck down.
Right.
They didn't erase their history. I mean, for someone like Fred Hampton, you might argue that they did try to erase his history, but like, it is, and I know I'm missing people. I was just trying to use people that have movies out and people can somewhat feel like they have a thing about, but like all of the, there's all these powerful Black people who have been killed off because it looks like they have a certain power over the people. And and it's that's the same thing would happen to him if he popped his head back up. And the only reason it's not happening to Sam is because he got to stand next to the white guy. And people could be like, all right, so he's in check then, because there's the white guy. Even though Steve probably didn't look at it that way, naive on his part, which we'll get to as well, because that gets talked about. But like, the optics are, it's the white guy and his Black friend.
Yeah.
And so like, you don't, there's no need to take you out because
exactly
the white guy. And I think it is, it's a very interesting thing because he's like, like they're never going to let you be Captain America. And if you're a self-respecting Black person, you're not going to take it.
Which
I get that argument. And I know it's not quite the same, but I do know that people are always like, well, make your own Oscars and stuff like that. And I've always been on the side of, no, like take up that space. Like it shouldn't be that that's just by default, that's for white people.
I agree.
Feel like as a Black, and that's why I like where Sam ends, but it is, I still appreciate that conversation and that side of things.
Yeah.
Of like,
yeah, there's a lot to be said, right? It's like the idea of like throwbacks to a lot of discussions that are within the show that like just build on other discussions. Like the idea of like, I remember like back, I think it's episode 2 where Sam meets Isaiah for the first time, and there's that kid on the street that goes like, hey, you're Black Falcon, and that whole discussion, right? It's like, hey, you kid or you Black kid? Ah, got you. Which, you know, it does resemble that one period of time within Black history where we wanted to highlight and put Black in front of everything to just separate and just be like, here's the power part of it too. And then now the discussion being like, in your discussion, those, like every point of these discussions being brought up within these, within this show is just fantastically powerful, right? Because he does resemble that era. Isaiah's just personally, so much has happened to him where he's just like, he's right though. He's like, what do you think is going to happen? The public has already seen me as dead. They don't see me as being real. Like, do you think they're going to gaslight me? Do you think like they're going to celebrate me, like his return? Like the idea of like, they're not going to welcome me back. They're never going to do that. Like, you're naive to think that, Sam.
It's more that.
It is definitely that.
His concern isn't with the public. His concern is with the real people who were willing to kill off the people that they tested on.
Correct.
So that no one knew about them. And the very real people that, even though they knew they couldn't kill him, decided to kill his lifeline, basically. And let his wife die thinking that he had died already. And the idea is that like, you're not fixing things by giving me that shield, because I still have to stay underground.
Right.
Once I pop up, that's a problem. I really enjoyed that scene. I'm gonna try and truncate some stuff here.
Right.
Basically Sam goes back home, realizes that they can't sell the boat that they wanted to sell because it's got too much to fix on it. So he decides to call in a bunch of favors, because what you realize is his sister Sarah, much like their mother, I want to say is Darlene or Marlene, something like that, basically was like, they would always give out to the community. Like, Sarah makes lunches for these two kids that she knows their parents don't even wake up until 12. And the mom did the same type of stuff. And so now he's calling in all these favors to help get the boat ready to sell. Bucky shows up, a second kind of statement of intent of like, hey, like you are like family to me. I know he doesn't say that. I know he says the shield is, but obviously he feels comfortable with Sam now. Like that's where you see him smiling and he's relaxed. He's not tense anymore. And sure, I'm sure he still has the nightmares, but hold on, I don't want to go too far. Yeah, he basically asked to stay with them. I know he goes, well, I've got a flight tomorrow and I got a, I can get a hotel. And he's like, obviously just stay with us. And he's like, okay. And that is the conversation they have about him being like, we don't have to get into it again, but that's the conversation where he's like, hey, how come you're not using your melanin? He's like, I don't think about it. I'm right-handed. I'm right-handed. So it's not something I immediately think to use.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel like, yeah, that's him opening up and being more human.
Yeah. This is to me, this scene is him taking his therapist's advice, you know, the therapist in the beginning of the series being like, you need friends, and him trying to reach out unsuccessfully, except for the, what we know now is like him trying to do the right thing, but really ultimately not giving that old man, his friend, the closure, because he, as Winter Soldier.
Well, I don't want to get to that yet, because that's later with that's what they're setting up with the conversation I have later.
Right.
But yes, but this like is that, his that, first steps towards it.
Right. But that Zemo thing where he's like, hey, I cross this off. Like he would have, like, because I believe that's the one name he doesn't cross off yet, right? Throughout the whole thing. Like even in those first episodes, he's like, he talks to him and doesn't cross off that name.
Which name?
The friend, that the old Asian man. Yeah, I think so. That's the name he doesn't cross off, right? No. Okay.
I haven't seen him cross any names. Well, he crosses off that senator's name or whatever.
Yeah.
But that doesn't, it wouldn't make sense to cross his name off yet.
Fair enough. But the idea here is like, he is genuinely making a friend now, and he's just not. I love how there's just that little quick, we're not friends, like that little joke thing, but he's made a friend and this is great. Mm-hmm. I'm loving this. This scene was awesome. Yeah.
And so then we get to the scene where John visits Lamar's family.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the second time that he lies about, like, and I he's lying to himself. I think he's lying to himself.
He's lying to himself. He's lying to himself.
About like, yeah, I caught the person that killed him. So an interesting thing I saw in this scene was the two parents who basically make John feel better about himself are dressed in purple.
Yeah.
Which is usually how you dress black people in TV. You can watch basically any commercial and a lot of shows.
Yeah.
The black people are dressed in purple.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's a meta thing, but I did notice the sister who doesn't really trust John is not dressed in purple.
Yeah.
She is decidedly not there to make him feel better.
Interesting. And I didn't notice that.
She's dressed in blue, but she's not in purple. Like the two parents are very
interesting,
all decked out in purple. The mom even like caresses him and makes him like, you know, Lamar knew the risks and everything. And he was so proud of building John up, even though John should be there to make them feel better. The dad doesn't say much other than, but you got him, right? Like the person that killed killed their son, you got him. And he's like, yeah, I did. And so then that's the father's contribution. And then the mom has to, you know, do the,
she's got to console him.
Any type thing of making him feel better and building him back up. I just thought it was interesting that in that scene, they are both dressed in purple and the sister is not.
Yeah. Oh, it's very interesting. I did not pick that up.
I'm always looking for black people dressed in purple, but I think, it seemed like, and I want to say that for the most part, Sam isn't dressed in purple in this show.
I don't think he is. I think there's many, unless many scenes
he's
where
like in Madripoor and there's purple in his suit where he's supposed to be playing a typical black person.
Right. I don't think I've ever seen him wear purple. I think the one imagery I will point out is that the colors that they're very, they want tied to Sam are like the brown, the red and the blue. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very, very interesting because like, especially when he's training with the shield, he's wearing like the red shirt and the blue pants or mm-hmm. something like that. But it's very much like, oh, okay, this is the color scheme they're going for. More on that later. But like the idea of like, ooh, okay, this is black or brown, red and blue is the color scheme they're playing for Sam. It looks like they've never put him in purple ever.
Not that I remember. Not in the show. Yeah. I can't speak to any time in MCU history. I don't know right. about this show. But yeah.
So I have a question for you. Just real just aside. Because like purple, and because you know how like colors mean different things in different color, different cultures and everything like that. Why is it that they put black people in purple when they're
wardrobe department? White does? Advertiser. I don't know.
Okay. That's just a very interesting thing to me, because like purple in Chinese culture is the color of royalty. You couldn't wear purple ever. So I didn't know if there was a connection there of like, we're going to be royalty of our own. Even if you
look
I don't
at
know.
Toys, if you look at like Barbie, the black one will probably be in purple. And if you look at TV shows and definitely commercials, usually the black people are dressed in purple.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Like now that you've said it, I can't unsee it.
This is the black person.
Right. And so now that you've said it, I can't unsee it. But is that one of those things? Because I'm not good with color scheme. It's just, is it one of those things where it's just like inherently that's a good... Fair enough. I'm just trying to overthink this. But yeah, if anyone knows, tweet at us.
Yeah.
You know our handle. We'll say it at the end.
I'm going to say something
now. It's just interesting to me.
It's very interesting. I think that was done on purpose. It's not something that will pay off later. I just think it was done on purpose in that scene.
Right. Because I think you're right. Because in my mind, I'm like, if you're showing a grieving family not wearing black, I feel like there's a reason for that. Right. Because my instinct is like grieving family wearing black. Immediately.
Well, yeah, maybe they already were at the funeral and this is him seeing them later, but yeah.
Well, this is definitely after the fact, right? Because even his wife is like, you have to go see Lamar's parents. It's like so insinuating. They're like, hey, you didn't go to the funeral. Like, what the fuck?
Or go. Maybe it is just like, maybe don't let the funeral be the first time you see the parents.
Right, maybe that's a visitation. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever. We're breaking down too many technicalities. The important point, the thing to point out in that scene is, yes, the mother... The family is being lied to by the white man, and the white woman is, I mean, the black woman is consoling the white man to make him feel better, as opposed to what he's supposed to do is make them feel better, which I guess you could say he does that for the dad, maybe, but no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
Through a lie.
And it is more, you can see what he says when he goes,
yeah,
I would never let the person who did that get away.
Like, yeah, so he doubles down on it. He doubles down on it, even though when he's heard evidence, it's like, hey, you didn't actually get the person that killed
him. I mean, he knows he didn't get the person.
Right.
The guy told him, I didn't do it, and he saw who killed him. It's,
did he see that? Because I didn't get to rewatch the episode to see that.
He saw that Carly punched him. Like, he just...
Yeah, you're right. You're actually right. Yeah, he's twisted that in his mind.
And he said, where is she? When he knocked Nico down, he said, where is she?
Good point.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't, he's lying, but I don't know if the lie is for them or for himself.
It's for him.
I think he's lying to himself.
Yeah.
But basically, I'm going to say this now so that we don't have to talk about it later.
Right.
Sharon calls Batroc and is like, go work with the Flag Smashers to kill Falcon. I just want to say that that's what Sharon did. I don't want to get into that scene with Batroc and the Flag Smashers later. Basically, when he shows up with the Flag Smashers, it's because Sharon called. Why I want to bring it up is if we wanted to try to unpack why she would do that, we can do that here.
Right. I got no clue. Honestly, I don't. I just think, like, what's Sharon actually doing here? Is she being a double agent? I feel
hopefully episode 6 answers it, or maybe it is just, yeah, she's just living the Madripoor life now.
Yeah. She's
paying. I guess that's what's different. She's paying for it. So it's not like she makes money off of this.
Right. I think
And it doesn't make sense kind that of she's builds... working on behalf of the power broker, because why would the power broker want to work with the Flag Smashers?
I don't know. Yeah. You're right, a lot of that doesn't make sense. I just had like this one wild theory that is making less sense the more I think about it, but what if the power broker was one of the 10 rings and the Mandarin was like in control of the 10 rings and like that's like the big bad, and like maybe like Val is one of the 10 rings too or something like that. It's like the society of like secret power that's putting together this team. I don't know. Could be that, because I'm starting to think that the Power Broker is not one person and that it's a collective, kind of like the GRC. You know what I mean? It's not just one singular person, but there's like a group of people,
controlling that we don't know crime. Like, we haven't met the Power Broker yet, especially
weird
episode named Power Broker.
Yeah, and that's this episode why
made me be like, I guess Sharon isn't the Power Broker, or if Sharon is, like, a lot of chaotic stuff going on. Like,
there's a lot of chaotic visual stuff going on for sure. I don't know, but Sharon's character here is that took a turn for sure.
I thought Val was the Power Broker, but then I learned who she was, I was like, probably not.
Yeah, when the way Val was talking was definitely not. That's why, like,
because in generally, like, the Power Broker gives the powers to people, and she might have been like, hey, you took the serum, but I got the boosters that you need
Right. So here's how I think the Power Broker is not just one person. I think it's like just inspired by like the idea of like New York City crime families, the mafia crime families, where it's like, hey, all out war doesn't interest us. So the Power Broker is like a group of multiple heads of certain organizations, like Madripoor is an organization of its own or something like that. And we got like certain other criminal organizations that are represented at Madripoor's this table. I misspoke there. But I am starting to believe that the Power Broker is multiple people, the heads of organizations, kind of like how there's a red, like that round table in the Dark Knight scene where like we have all these crime bosses together meeting with the Joker. Well, meeting together, and then the Joker crashes that thing. I'm starting to think it's something like that, more so than just one person. It bothers me that there's the hand of the Power Broker, kind of like how Darcy's hand was like, oh, who's watching the series? And we find out it's Darcy later in WandaVision. Like, there's nothing like that in this at all. It's just like the Power Broker is watching, the Power Broker is this, the Power Broker is this. I personally think it's an organization or like one member of the Ten Rings or something like that. That's what it feels like to me.
Very well could be. Mm-hmm. I think that's a good thought. We'll find out, or we won't, but hopefully we do find out next week. Mm-hmm. I hope you're right.
I personally feel like the only thing we're going to get from the Power Broker at this point, considering that we haven't seen anything, is like, yeah, we're going to get that like Dr. No moment where there's a guy in a chair and you only see his hand stroking like a cat. Like I feel like that's it. And it's like, ooh, who? Like, and then that's the big thing. Yeah.
Okay. Well, this is furthering Bucky feeling more at home. We see him actually resting on a couch, resting on the floor.
Yes.
He wakes up to Sam's nephews playing with the shield. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't startle. He just kind of like, hey, and waves at them. They get startled and run away. But I thought that was just a nice character moment again.
That's a very cute moment.
Taking a bit. Then basically they get to Sam and Bucky playing catch with the shield, which is cool. But it's the conversation we wanted them to have
always,
where they're actually open with each other and don't try to pretend like anything. And I thought it was really good that Bucky was like, when Steve told me the idea, like, I think we both just ignored race in that choice and like what it would mean to you. And I know that Bucky in particular is like, and I know what happened to Isaiah, so I probably should have thought about that instead of getting on your case for giving it up. Mm-hmm. Maybe I should have recognized like what type of toll that might take on you and what kind of stress that would put on you. And
right.
Like, I owe you an apology. And he gives a very genuine apology as he hands the shield off. And I like that Sam, like, all the counseling he's done is like, yeah, are you ready for some tough love? Like, you've got that book, but you're not using it properly. And that's what I was hinting at before when he was kind of like, yeah, like, of course he's like happy for Zemo to cross the list off. He's like, yeah, just another name I don't have to deal with. He's like, but you're not working with them on anything. You're just saying sorry and then being like, I'm done, that's that,
right?
So I like that he was like, you need to, like, which he doesn't know, I don't think, that we're basically trying to pay off that scene from the first episode where he went to the his friend's house and didn't say, I'm the one who killed your son.
Yep.
But that is basically what this is being, where I'm hoping,
yes,
pushing Bucky to do.
Yes.
Be honest with that friend as well. The same way he came, like, opened up to Sam, up to, I can't remember the guy's name. I think it's Yuri. I don't remember now.
I can't remember his name either.
I'll look it up while you say your bit on this.
But yeah, no, that whole scene is just, it's truly fantastic. The idea of, like, they're both honest, they're both real, they're both training the shield, passing it off with each other. And I like that, the visual of them, like, hey, it's like the talking stick, you know, that kind of, like, in a safe space is like, okay, this person has the talking shield and I'm going to throw it to you. It's your turn to talk. Like, it was that, the visual representation, everything within that scene was truly fantastic for what it was. I know everyone's like, yeah, it is Yuri. Okay. Awesome.
Well, Y-O-R-I.
Yeah. I am hoping that there is that payoff toward the end of the series with Bucky, that he does get to say that. Cause I think it's going to be just a fantastic moment where Bucky's like, you know, like, he's doing the work. And Sam even says that. He's like, you know what? Do the work. You got to do the work. You can't just say sorry. That's it. You got to do the work with these people. And it really gets to him. And that scene is fantastic. And I love at the very, very end where they're still chumming around with that riff off joke of them being like, but we're doing this as coworkers, right? like that a lot.
That part I felt like kind of undercut it. It seemed like they edited it, they kept it in, because a bit of that was in the trailer, but I wasn't that happy with that ending, because I'm like that's just for the audience. Like, I feel like after a moment like that, you wouldn't joke around. Like, you'd be just really happy that you actually connected and came to some form of peace instead of being like doing that jokey stuff. I like, it's whatever. I'm glad, like,
yeah, I think it was
together, but it did feel like it undercut what was a very important scene.
It was very, very important. It did feel like it undercut, but I just felt like this was one of those ways of being like, they're bros at the end of the day and they're still trying to bro around.
What I'm saying, I don't want it to be that they're bro. Actually come to, like,
they've a come real to understanding a very of big each other as
human people, beings, and that they've connected. So then, yeah, like, to be like, they're just a bunch of bros, it's like, well, that wasn't really the point of what just happened.
I get that.
Like, other than doubling down on the whole Sam being like, hey, like, you know, Steve is gone, also it's not that important what he thought, like, you need to think for yourself on that one, just the same way you'll realize later on in the episode he's gonna think for himself, even though Isaiah told him something very specific, he's going to think about it for himself. I think that's important. And I think it's also important that while they're doing their joking thing, it's like, we're just two guys that have a mutual friend. And it's like, well, that mutual friend's gone now. I would have liked it better if they came together on more like, so now we are the friends, as opposed to just, so we're just two guys. Oh, it works for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that's the one okay thing of that they were doubling that. And I don't mean like he's dead, let's forget him. It was that, like, getting to the point of they don't need the Steve connection anymore. They've connected. Mm-hmm. They don't need to worry about like, oh, we're just friends because, or we just work together because of Steve. It's like, no, we like each other and we've connected.
Yeah, I did like that.
Anyway, yeah, then they do a montage of fixing the boat. Other stuff happens, but I basically
I like the Bucky flirting with Sarah.
I did like that he legitimately like wanted to hit on Sarah. It's just like, oh, that's nice. He's still human. And Sarah's like, okay. I take it. She's like, yeah, like no one really hits on me in this town.
Yeah, it's hilarious.
But yeah, I skipped over a couple of things to get to the important part, which is they're about to paint over their parents' names, thus erasing their history, and not just history, but the fact that their parents owned that property. Like, that's something that two Black people back then were able to own, and they were about to paint over it. And I do think it's important that they were selling it not to a Black person. They tried to sell it to a Vietnamese person, but that it would have just been taken up by a different I'm speaking in like generality. We're like taken up by a different culture. Like it would cease to be this Black owned thing anymore. And she's like, yeah, we can't do it. And he's like, I'm so happy you said that. And that's where I think he decided, yeah, I am going to take up the space. And I think that it is nice that he acknowledges, yeah, if I were Isaiah, I would feel exactly the same way, but I can't let his suffering just be suffering for suffering's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I think it is, it's, and the sister says as well, is that like, or Sarah says it as well, like, yeah, like you are taking on this fight here at home for us, but also out there, like not a lot of people would be able to do that. Like, I never think you're running from anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that is also to see, like, Sam isn't running from the reality of what that shield means to mm-hmm. certain Black people, but you can see there is a new generation, like mm-hmm. his nephews, that idolize that shield. And so
mm-hmm.
it would be important for him to be a Black person to hold on to that and take up that space,
mm-hmm.
That previously white space, and mm-hmm. fill it with this Black person.
Yeah. And yeah, I thought that was...
I like that resolution to him taking on the shield.
Yeah, I agree. I thought that dialogue did so much. The processing, to the building off of where the work was done and where it goes in the future, and where different generations kind of see different things differently, right? I 100% agree. I didn't even think about the fact that the kids, his nephews, playing with the shield like so gleefully and with so much joy, and what it represented joy to them and that mm-hmm. generation. And like, I think him actually being between those two generations is a great way of putting that. I think that generational thing, talking about legacy, but where legacy should go, is so such a beautiful way of putting it within this whole, like, that montage, yeah, of fixing and building.
It's important that he's, yeah, acknowledging, like, I still think he didn't take it because of imposter syndrome, like, oh, how could I fill
some, yes, shoes?
But I think now it's important that he knows, like, I'm actually taking it in the face of people who don't want people like me to have it. Like, I now have that additional information,
right,
of historically what this shield would mean to an Isaiah Bradley.
Mm.
And I'm gonna, yeah, like, he suffered so that Sam can continue on,
mm-hmm. continue moving it forward.
And he, yeah, isn't part of the government,
or, yes,
I'm hoping that's the idea, because now he's got Wakandan tech, and
like, yes,
so he's completely divorced from that. And so it's, mm-hmm. and as Val said, that shield isn't theirs. Like, we already knew that, but like,
yeah,
it's like, hey, like, you know, like, that's not theirs.
Yeah,
you have to give that back. You
know, technically, I know you don't Stark's,
have it, but yeah, I know you don't have it, but you don't also don't, you don't have to give it back to them. There's nothing, right, they can legally do to keep, make you keep, like, give that back.
Right. And this is not US property.
So like, he is completely divorced from that. And for that newer generation, it will mean something different to them.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like that resolution for him taking on the shield. It doesn't feel like he's just like going into it blindly, like, well, I agree, make it different. It does feel like he's like, no, I know what they did to other people who tried to do mm-hmm. this, and I'm still going to push back and take up that space.
Yeah. And I'm gonna do it my way. And I'm gonna do it whether you like it or not. I'm all for it. I'm all for it.
And then he does a shield training montage, which is fun. But yeah,
yeah.
What were you gonna say?
What are you gonna say about that? I mean, like, no, it's a great montage. I didn't want to say
anything about, yeah, it, because I was just like, yeah.
No, I was talking to the audience. I'm like, that's a great scene. It's just like, it's not easy to use that shield. I really liked them showing his difficulty in struggling with it. Yeah, for sure. Because it's just like, for the same reason of like, before he gave up, like he still preferred his wings in the beginning of the series, right? And then now he's physically giving that up. He's like, he's now really doing the work to adopt the shield and to be the next Captain America. And I cannot wait to see what the visuals of the next suit's going to look like on him.
Agreed.
The question is, ultimately, is it going to be a winged suit with the Captain America iconography? Yes. Or, yeah, yeah, that's what you assume, right? Because,
well, that's what my biggest thing is, and it's like, yeah, why not?
Mm. Right. And that's my biggest question is it going to be that? I genuinely hope it would be, because I think that'd be really, really cool. But I could also see Wakanda Tech being something completely different too.
We will find out tomorrow, but yeah, next week.
I think the exciting thing is going to be what it looks like, what the color scheme is going to be, whether or not going to stick to, because I think what it's going to be is black, red and blue as the color scheme for the suit. I think that'd be sick. Whether or not it has wings is the biggest question in my mind, but the Wakanda tech, I'm dying to see what they can, what they've done with the suit and what it can do. I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I agree. It will look, I mean, I don't know if it will look, I haven't seen it. I'm looking forward to the look, but what I do know is the next scene is confirming that the GRC is having a vote to displace 20 million refugees.
Correct.
And this is yet again another thing that the Flag Smashers want to disrupt. Carly, for some reason, thinks that like Batroc is needed to do that, which does not sit well with the other Flag Smashers. They're kind of like, so we just work with like criminals now. And this is what I'm saying. Like, this kind of confirms that she's like, wow, they already think we're criminals. And I'm like, well,
we might as well be.
No, that's not the right way to take it. But sure, I guess the show needs you to be the villain now for this point.
The way that turned out was a little bit less, because I was hoping that the way that was going to be handled was like, look, we have no other choice kind of deal. And they're
that didn't seem that's what she was doing.
She was very gleeful about that.
We're criminals. So yeah. And it's like, boy.
It seemed like to me, it's like, hey guys, we're in the big leagues now. We got another big league guy teaming with us. Like, you should be excited for this. Like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah. And that
like she was pitching it and excited for it. Yeah.
Going against her thing. And she is going to try and kill Falcon, which does correct. Go against her whole idea of trying to remove iconography and actually just making it personal and going after individuals.
Right, but I feel like that the reason why that's the case is because Captain America, I'm pretty sure she's got news that Captain America is no longer John Walker, right? So
she should move on to Falcon.
That is true.
I think, and I'm not saying this is a flaw in the show, I'm saying this is the show showing you that she has moved away from her initial way more respectable thing of I'm trying to break down these icons, and she's made it personal. And I know it's just we're doing this because Batroc's only going to do it if he can kill Falcon, but she is and then you can kill Falcon. It's like, but that's never what you were about. Like, you've lost your way. And this isn't me being like, hey, this is a mistake. It's just the show wants you to know she's a bad guy in this episode by being in direct opposition with what she talked about last episode.
And even teaming up with known bad guys. Yeah. It's very, very clear. Like, hey, just so we're clear now, this is where we're at. To me, the Batroc reveal was awesome. That was a great moment for me. I didn't realize that was going to happen. I was really, really happy to see it. Really happy to see it, because I'm like, either she is big leagues now, or this is going to spiral away from her real, real quick. Either way, it's going to be an exciting episode to watch to see what happens.
There's a lot of people in the mix, so it'll be interesting. And then, basically the last scene is the GRC is hacked while they're trying to decide. Mm-hmm. And you can kind of see how callous they are, because it's kind of like, well, the camps aren't ready. They're like, who cares? Like,
why are we even talking about this? Like,
just move them. And then they get hacked. And Sam looks at his new shield, because Torres has been like, they're in New York. You can go get them in New York.
Yeah.
Which, cool. He's about to suit up. And then there is a mid-credits scene where
he's building, he's DIYing.
John makes a new shield. That's it. That's his name. Yeah. So that's cool. I'm glad that everyone will have a shield in the next fight.
Yeah.
Well, just the two people I actually want to see fight, which is John and Sam.
I want to point out shields. Nice. I want to point out a few things. Like, I'm just going to point out prematurely now that I'm going to have some critiques on how he uses that shield if it flies perfectly, because that thing ain't vibranium. And it does not look very aerodynamic, especially with his own little metal that he's put on there. So I'm going to have some choice words about that if that thing is flying like the original shield. Don't like it. But yeah, we'll see.
I mean, I guess.
Like, because I was curious, because I was like, all right, well, we'll see. Because I was curious, and I did look at the next week's episode teaser.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, and I was curious about some stuff. So it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out, but specifically involving the aesthetics.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, that's that episode.
Yep.
Week we asked if you thought that Steve would have killed Tony if Tony actually killed Bucky. Everyone said no. I'm not convinced that that's the case, but everyone said no.
I still
think that Bucky is his tipping point. Because everyone's like, well, he put the shield down, and I'm like, yeah, because his friend didn't die. If his friend died, I think all bets are off.
You're right. I feel like
that would be the second time he lost him, and he would feel responsible again.
Yeah, I feel like that he couldn't save him again. I feel like Peggy might be a better tipping point for him to go crazy for and kill, or at least I'm projecting that way. But
I think you're projecting, because I'm projecting. All evidence is that, like, yeah, Bucky, it was nice to have them dance at the end, and it's romantic to think about that. But the person that he really goes off course for is Bucky.
True, very true, true. I like that our audience was like, hey, there's no doubt that Steve would have killed, because Steve's a good man.
Yes,
that's who deserves the super soldier.
I'm not saying he's a bad man if he kills Tony. I just think that's his tipping point.
That's his humanity.
If he actually lost Bucky, he might lash out.
Yep, Bucky is his humanity. At least up until the end.
Till the end of the line. Well, thank you very much for listening, everybody. We are on the That Shelf Podcast Network, as Ben said. It's other great shows like Bad Gay Movies, Black Hole Films, Changing Reels, Composers, No Budget Nightmares, What a Great Theme Song, and more. So please head on over there. If you'd like to hear older episodes of us, then you can go to tdfeverything.com/spoiledrotten. Our Twitter is @tdfspoiled. Our email is spoiledpodcast@gmail.com, and you can find us on Instagram and stuff as well. Just head on over to those places I told you about, and we are on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Music, Radio Public, a whole bunch of places. So please head there, rate, review, subscribe, and share with your friends. Thank you very much.
That's right. See you next time.
Bye bye.
This has been a TDF Everything production, bruh.